With the Bishop's Synod on the Middle East barely concluded, we learnt the tragic news that over 50 innocent Iraqi Christians had been murdered while attending Mass at Our Lady of Salvation, the Syrian church in Baghdad. Tomorrow, Friday the 12th of November, we'll see a special service of remembrance held at the Syrian Catholic Church in West London, 7 p.m. Holy Trinity Church, 41 Brook Green. Today I'm joined by Dr. Harry Hagopian, the Bishop's Conference Consultant on the Middle East, to reflect on this appalling massacre.
Well, it's a massacre that took place at the Syrian Catholic Church of Our Lady of Salvation in Baghdad, James. And the interesting thing is that this church, which is a lovely church, a large, lovely church, cathedral-like, is in the green zone in the Karada neighborhood of Baghdad. In other words, it is in one of the secure districts of Baghdad, and yet they managed to go in there, hold many of the faithful who were at that time attending Mass hostage, kill many of them, and when their rescue operation took place later, many more of the hostages died, as well as some security forces personnel and a few of the kidnappers themselves. It's an awful tragedy. It's a stain on the Iraq and on relations between communities within Iraq. And I think there's almost a pungent sense of irony talking about it today, because here in the UK today, we also commemorate Remembrance Day, when we think and pay tribute to all those who fell in different wars. And to me, Iraq has been in a state of war for a number of years now, and what happened to those victims is part and parcel of being falling sacrifice to that war. So in a sense, a very bad massacre, and one that has not actually stopped there, but since that big massacre on that Sunday, there have been attacks against other Christian communities in other neighborhoods of Iraq, such as, for instance, the Mansour district, where other Christians have also been targeted. So the question that now arises is, why are Christians being targeted, and what can be done about it, and what should the church universally do, and what should Iraq do itself?
Do you have any answers for those questions at the moment?
Well, I think those questions are questions that have been bandied about the Middle East for decades. When we talk about the conclusions of the Synod, I'm sure we will comment on this as well. But do I have any question, any comments on it or any solutions? I don't really have any solutions, except to say that, one, the Iraqi authorities themselves have to basically pull up their socks and try and provide more security for the Christian communities, and incidentally, other minorities such as the Sabaeans, the Mandaeans, the Alevis, all the other minorities who are also in as bad a situation as the Christians. It's not only the Christians who are suffering, and it's not only minorities who are suffering, it's the Muslims themselves who are also dying in large numbers. I mean, to every attack on a Christian church or on a Christian community, there is at least one corresponding attack on Muslim communities, whether Sunni or Shi'i. And the question that then arises is, what can you do to staunch this violence? Well, you try to increase the sense of security in the country, the rule of law, and I'm hopeful that now that finally, it seems, after 6-7 months of parliamentary elections, we're beginning to get a government in place in Iraq, that they would actually be able to do something about it and get the country together. The outgoing Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who probably will also be the incoming one, has already said that it is time to rebuild Iraq. Well, rebuilding Iraq means providing security, providing the rule of law, making sure that there is no discrimination, and protecting the communities, the smaller communities, which are the mosaic of that country, and not forgetting the role they have played for centuries in the making not only of Iraq, but of Eastern civilization.
Obviously, the Synod, the Bishop's Synod for the Middle East in the Vatican, looked at Christian exodus from the Middle East, and in particular Iraq, and we've seen it in the north. We've seen exodus into Syria and rebuilding their homes elsewhere. This is a real problem, isn't it? Because now you've got this massacre. Is anybody safe? Are Christians even remotely safe?
Well, I would use the word safe advisedly, James, because I'm not of the opinion that Christians are safe or unsafe. I think that the whole region is unsafe, and therefore the Christians also suffer the consequences of that lack of safety. But if you look at the numbers of Christians, it's in Iraq, it's in Israel-Palestine, it's in Lebanon, it's in even countries where we do not necessarily talk about emigration of local Christians, such as in Egypt and other places. However, when it comes to Iraq itself, the numbers are quite telling. If you go to the 1990s, you had well over 1.2 million Christians living, Iraqi Christians, mostly Arab Christians, but Christians within the country living in Iraq. Then after the invasion in 2003, the US-led invasion, that number dropped to 800,000. And now there's hardly 500,000. There are hardly 500,000 or so Christians of all denominations. I'm not only talking about Catholics, I'm talking about Catholics, Orthodox, and Reformed churches. And in a sense, this drop in number leads one to ask the question, why? And I think in Iraq, it is partly due, as elsewhere in the Middle East, to economic pressures. You need work, and there isn't really that much work, so people are looking outside, and Christians happen to have contacts with the outside world, perhaps a little more, so that helps in them emigrating. But it also has to do with the sense of instability, uncertainty, and downright fear that exists within those communities and those smaller communities in Iraq as to what the future has in store for them. And that is what is making them look outward. Now, there are two different kinds of opinion on Iraq, but I suppose you can replicate that to many other parts of the Middle East. One opinion is, for instance, what the Syrian Catholic Archbishop of Karakosh near Mosul in Iraq said, which is that Christians should stay put in the country, should continue their presence and witness, and I tend to understand that fully because that's part and parcel of our theology, part and parcel of who we are. I mean, we have a witness to show to the world, and that witness cannot be done if we keep rushing from one place to another. But there is a corresponding different view that is emerging, one that was also recently last week underlined by the Syrian Orthodox, interestingly, Archbishop Athanasios Daoud, who basically said, he would support anybody, any Christian who wants to leave Iraq, because it's much better for Iraqis to leave and be safe rather than to stay and be unsafe. That's also a dangerous mentality, much as I understand the political and human directions behind it, because what it means is that we are ghettoizing ourselves, either within Iraq, where we want to find safe enclaves, and that is the worst kind of ghetto, or leaving the country and going out to feel safer, and that is not necessarily my answer or my solution. My solution is that the country has to find the stability it needs to stop the violence that has been ravaging the country for years and literally has destroyed a country that's probably the second richest oil producer in the world. And once that is done, and once the Muslim majority understand and take on board the reality that the Christians and other minorities are a treasure to be cherished and protected and lived with rather than looked at as some sort of a foreign organ, then that would help or contribute at least toward allaying some of those fears that Christians have.
Just to finish, Harry, I mean, scores of people lost their lives during Mass at the Church of Our Lady of Salvation. Do we know who's responsible for this?
Yes, I mean, there is already a body that is affiliated with Al-Qaeda who has already said that they are responsible for this, and they have already threatened further attacks against Christian communities in Iraq, and that's partly because they consider Christians as infidels, and that is, in my opinion, a warped sense, and a really horribly warped sense of understanding of who Christians are, because if you look in the Quran, in the Holy Quran, if you look at real Muslim teaching, then you understand that Christians are viewed by Muslims as the people of the book, and therefore alongside Jews, and therefore they are people to be cherished and protected. And to sort of come with this kind of utter nonsense, to put it mildly, is to me horrendous. But they're also linking it with what is happening to Christians in other parts of the world, like in Egypt, for instance. And for me, what does Iraq have to do with Egypt? It is a very stupid, politicized application of religion, and that is one that neither a true Muslim scholar nor a true Christian scholar would accept. And this is why I think that the memorial service that will take place on Friday, tomorrow, at the Church of Holy Trinity in Brook Green in London, which will be led by a Syrian Catholic Iraqi pastor or priest, is one way of expressing our solidarity with the Christians of Iraq. But the solidarity doesn't stop with prayers and good intentions. It also has to be followed by deeds.
I think you're absolutely right to say that it needs to be followed by some definite action. But Harry, with our prayerful hat on, I know you speak Arabic, so if you could possibly give us a prayer for those that lost their lives.
Well, it's a sad task to do. It's a prayer it's a beautiful prayer in Arabic, which I sometimes pray when I'm in funerals that concern the death of Arab people. And I think it's very appropriate to this occasion, much as it is a sad and tragic occasion. The prayer goes, James, and I don't know how many of your listeners would actually get this, perhaps many of them, because they're logging on to see what's happening and what the Catholic Church is doing in this country. الرَّاحَةُ الْأَبَدِيَّ أَعْطِهِمْ يَا رَبِّ وَالنُّورُ الدَّائِمْ فَلْيُضِيءْ لَهُمْ فَلْيَسْتَرِيحُوا بِسَلَامٍ آمِينَ. Which basically says, paraphrasing it, give them eternal rest. May the light shine upon them so that they rest in peace. Amen.